Welcome to The Thriving Marriage, the podcast for those who want to get their spouse back in love with them and truly thrive.
You'll learn why 95% of people don't save their marriage and the secret method no one else is talking about that will change everything for you. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Let's turn tragedy to triumph.
Here are your hosts, international marriage experts, Mark Johnston and Heather Choate.
Hey everyone, welcome here to The Thriving Marriage. My name is Heather Choate and you have me solo today. My partner here at High Thrive Coaching, business partner, Mark Johnston, is taking some well-needed rest. He's been working very, very hard serving our clients and creating our amazing programs. So, Mark, get some rest. That's an order. But yes, welcome here to The Thriving Marriage podcast. Today we're going to talk about how to save your marriage without getting your heart hurt. And this is going to be a really powerful time we have together. There's a lot we want to go over, but I don't want to rush it. And so this podcast may take more than one episode. And that's okay, because I really want to just kind of dive deep into some of these new principles, some things that we haven't shared before. We're still going to go through our PATH method, but in a little bit of a different way that I really hope serves you if your spouse is currently checked out, if you know they're having an affair or if they're wanting a divorce. And so if that's your situation, then this podcast is definitely going to be for you. Before we get to that, I'm going to share our client win of the week. This one comes from Scott Murray, and some of you may know that Scott recorded an interview here on the podcast, let's say probably a month or so ago. And so if you haven't listened to his interview, the full thing, I really encourage you to check that out because it's awesome. And Scott's really open and transparent, and he's been sharing win after win after win after win as he's been working on his marriage reconciliation himself. So he gave us permission to share, and this is what his win is. Hashtag win. This is a consistent win thought, a consistent thought within me and pertains to the seeds this program has planted and the seeds I have planted in my relationship. So much has changed since the end of December, meaning December 2019. I would not have been able to withstand this current world crisis, COVID, if I had not wanted something completely different than what I had only 3 months ago. My wife is an amazing individual, my soulmate, and I am so fortunate to still have her. Our strengths have been tested over and over again throughout the years. The difference is now I don't feel like a victim. And so Scott has made incredible progress with his wife. And again, he shares his whole story, everything from dealing with alcoholism to her saying, I'm done, I want a divorce, I'm completely out. And him coming to us, like he said, just short time ago and going through even this pandemic and being able to reconnect with her using the PATH method that we teach our clients. And this was the post that he had given in conjunction with his win. And it's really beautiful. So I just want to take a minute and read it. I don't think he wrote it. I'm not sure who wrote it actually. So I can't give credit, but this is the image that he had. He said, remember, the day you plant the seed is not the day you eat the fruit. Be patient, be humble. Keep moving forward and know that all this hard work you're putting in and day out will produce the results you've been looking for. Your time is coming. Do not give up. What I really love about this is it goes right into what we call the law of gestation, right? Okay, so we've got like the law of attraction. We've got the law of reciprocity. We've got the law of gravity. There's different laws, but the law of gestation, right? Not digestion, as my husband likes to say, but gestation means how long it takes from something to go from a seed to its mature self. And so that whole principle there, you know, you can't just plant the seed and eat the fruit the same day. But sometimes we want that. We want like the quick fix. And so knowing that and having that perspective that we're like a gardener, and I'm working on a little garden with my children right now. My daughters particularly, and we plant the seeds and we water the dirt and we water the dirt and we water the dirt and we wait and wait and wait and wait and wait. And then we see the little sprouts. And again, it's not time yet to harvest, but we have the whole season to go, right? Where we need to nurture and care for these plants, pull the weeds, water the seeds, take good care of them. And We're even actually doing an intentions experiment, as a side note, giving love and gratitude to some of them and then just watering the others and seeing if that has an effect on their growth. But that's a side note. But we're giving them everything that they need to grow and to thrive. And then eventually the harvest day will come where we'll reap that benefit. And so we know that as you're starting out in a marriage, like, or in a relationship rather, you don't just go from, you know, meeting each other to wedding in a day, usually not, right? Unless you're maybe in Vegas and have had too much to drink, right? But it takes time to nurture and cultivate that relationship. The same principle applies when your marriage is struggling. And so you have to know that the seeds that you're planting, you're not going to see results right away, but you will see results given time. So I love that one. It's awesome. So thank you so much, Scott, for sharing that with us. All right. So let's go over here to our topic. And I'm going to pull up my notes while I'm doing this. All right. I have to jump screens because I'm on a different interface today with a Facebook Live as I'm streaming this live into the Thriving Marriage. And I'm really grateful. I see some of you joining me live. So thanks. And if you're new to the podcast, I really encourage you to join our Thriving Marriage Facebook group. It's an incredible community. We're actually the fastest online growing marriage resource, and we have an amazing group of people that are working on their marriages, and I just honor each and every one of you for joining. So, how to save your marriage without getting your heart hurt. Words to me are really, really important, and I was really intentional in the way that I wrote this. At first, it was just going to be like, save your marriage, or four steps to save your marriage, or four secrets to save your marriage, right? But then I really felt like, you know, without getting your heart hurt needs to be added to this point, because let's face it, if our marriage is struggling, then we put ourselves into a very vulnerable situation. And most likely, in fact, I'm going to say almost always, we've been hurt, right? And our spouse has also been hurt. And there's some fear and some hesitancy on both sides about coming back to the relationship because you're worried about getting hurt again. And so that's why I want to share these principles today that are going to help you with that. And so we call it our secret. It's not really secret. It's really, that's kind of like a marketing term, but it is unique and it's rarely talked about. It's a four-step method to save your marriage without getting your heart hurt. And guys, this works even if your spouse is currently checked out, even if they're having an affair, even if they're wanting out of the marriage. If that's something that you're wanting, then this is definitely for you. Okay. And right off the bat, I really want you to get intentional. I want you to take some time and some space right now to think about, where do I want my marriage to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now, 3 years from now, 30 years from now, and really tap into that. So many times we get stuck in the mud of life, in the chaos of life, and we don't see the bigger picture because we're just so inundated with all of the challenges that we're facing right now. And so having that perspective and knowing where we want to go is how we truly captain the ship of our own lives, right? There's that saying, I am the captain of my ship and the master of my fate. And so we need to decide where we're going to go. That way, when the storms come and they pull us off course, then we're going to be able to get ourselves back on course. And it's not about having a perfect straight line. We always think it's going to be completely linear, and it's not. It's more like a jagged line, but it should be going in an upwards direction towards our destination. My husband is a pilot, and it's fascinating to me because he spends a lot of time charting out his course, right? Choosing the exact destination. And it's a narrow strip. When you're up in the sky, right, it looks really narrow. A narrow strip of land, an airport, sometimes even a dirt airstrip, right? And it's one tiny dot on the vast globe, right? And so he charts his course and creates a flight plan of how he's going to get there. And they have to take in consideration that there's going to be weather, there might be mountains, there might be, you know, unexpected things that happen, bird strikes, all these different things. And what's fascinating to me is when I'm flying with him, I've learned that about, he says, 98 to 99% of the time, pilots are actually off course. And that's fascinating to me. Like, how can you be like 99% of the time off course and still get to your destination? And it's through those little tiny course corrections that they make. Especially if the plane isn't on autopilot, but even then, it's still true. The plane automatically makes its little course corrections, but my husband flies little planes, little prop planes, and so he manually has to do the little course corrections, and as he's teaching students, he does the same, teaches them. And so that's so true about life, is that we make these tiny little course corrections here and there, and sometimes they have to be some big course corrections if something really big kind of pushes us away from our destination. So we have to intentionally decide where we're going and commit to getting there no matter what. And when we make that kind of a choice, then no matter what challenges come, no matter what setbacks happen, no matter if we feel like we're taking one step forward, two steps back, we keep going, and eventually we will reach our destination. That's truth. So ask yourself that. Where do I want to be 3 months from now, 6 months from now? Now, I would really love to be able to see the comments here, but for some reason, I can't. So, bummer. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm sorry if I can't see your comments. I'm streaming live on Facebook, and they've totally changed the interface, which is sad to me. I'll have to figure it out. All right. So I want to ask you, what will it feel like to have your spouse in love with you, completely madly in love with you, and for you to be completely madly in love with them and to feel safe and secure in your marriage? What would that feel like for you? And really, like I said, tap into that, sink into that, really feel that, like imagine what the look on their face would be when you come home. You know, imagine walking in the park or whatever you guys love to do, right? That's what I love to do. I love to go on walks with Ben. But yeah, really sink into that vision for you and your spouse and hold fast to that, because you are the one that gets to determine where you ultimately go. Okay. All right. Now, there we go. This is weird. Okay. Sorry. All right. So as you have that vision of where you really want to go, then ask yourself, like, what is it really going to take to get there, right? That's what normally comes up. Is it even possible if I can get there? So on. So we have this path method that we've used with thousands of couples just like you all over the world. And it is the method that is the most likely to get you to that result. Okay. And it's simple, because I believe we should keep things simple, right? KISS. Have you guys heard of that acronym? Like KISS, keep it simple, not stupid. We're going to say keep it simple, sexy, because we're not stupid. So KISS, it's simple because the most effective things are simple, but it's radically different that is going to help you experience immediate relief in your relationship, immediate relief, and really ultimately get you the love that you're craving, that your heart is craving, and that you're yearning for. And we do this without having to waste years in therapy. So it's very different than the typical therapist model, including that our level of support is extremely, you know, we're in the trenches with you. If you guys know anything about our coaching programs, we're literally there with you every day, and we have multiple ways for you to reach out and get help. We don't believe in just the 1 hour a week model and then rehashing kind of old past issues. No, we give you like specific action plans. And we actually want to get rid of you. We actually want you to graduate the program. We don't want you to keep coming back to us for a session year after year after year after year. We want you to grow into the person that you're meant to be, into the very best version of yourself, to learn and master some things that, guys, we just simply might not know. That's what I'm trying to say. And so we have to learn these things because we're not taught them in school. We're not taught them in our culture. They're not modeled typically by our friends or obviously in the media, right? Hollywood is not a great example of how to have a successful, happy marriage. There are a few and I love them, but there's not a lot. And so we have to learn these skills and educate ourselves in what it takes to save the marriage. Oh no, now I'm getting a notice that we're having trouble playing this video. I don't know if you guys could still hear me. I hope that you can as I'm streaming this live. I do see the chat now. So if you guys are still able to hear me and see me, I would appreciate you guys letting me know. This is one of the challenges. You know, as Mark and I were creating this podcast, we thought about doing it in a recording studio away from all of our kids. You know, we do this from home with all of our big families. And you know, making it really clean, really professional. And that just didn't really resonate with us. We wanted to do it live with you guys. We want to be able to interact with you. And so this is one of the challenges, though, is that sometimes the tech just doesn't work. All right. Thank you, Alicia. Okay, cool. All right. Well, I can't hear and see me. Obviously, I can't hear me because I'm the one talking, but good. Okay, cool. Well, then we'll just keep running with this. So that is how our method is radically different. And we discovered something really, we call it like our big discovery. It happened, let's see, about a year and a half ago. So honestly, not that long considering how long we've been doing this, because we were working with thousands of couples, like I mentioned, and we were seeing some really, really great results with them. They were opening up communication. They were having awesome conversations and going on dates. They were feeling like they were friends again, and they were making some really positive changes. But we continued to run up against one big block, and we found one little thing that was a big reason why marriages were ending in divorce. Even in our program, and we're not, never going to say that we can save every marriage. And even now, being completely transparent, that's not what it is really about. It's really about learning these things so that no matter what happens, you have the kind of relationship that you want at some point, right? But there was this big thing that was missing in not only our method, but we had never heard about it anywhere else. And so we discovered, I call it as like something insane because literally no one else is talking about it. So before I share what it is, I'm going to go into what it's not, okay? So here's what it's not. It's not working on yourself. How many of us have heard this? When my marriage is struggling, I can raise my hand and say, yeah, I heard this myself. Like, you just need to work on yourself. And I get where that comes from. And there is, you know, I'm going to like be honest, there is some truth to this, but it's not the entirety of the solution. There's some truth to this because we do need to focus on what we can control. And we know we cannot control our spouse, right? We cannot make them do anything. And so the idea that you just need to work on yourself comes from there, right? Because we need to focus on what we can control. And that's true. But here's what we would hear, okay? We would ask our clients and our students, how are you doing working on yourself? How are you doing making some of these positive changes? And they would say, great, you know, I lost weight, I'm getting into shape, like I work out at the gym now every day, I'm better with the kids, I'm more patient, I'm more present at home, or I'm spending more time at home, right? Anything from like, I listen more, I understand more, I stopped drinking, I stopped complaining, neglecting my spouse, you know, I stopped the affair. All these different things, right? I meditate. And then we'd be like, oh, great. That's awesome. How's your marriage? And they would say, I'm still getting a divorce. They're still leaving. They don't want to come back. And so working on yourself is not the solution for saving your marriage. The solution is to work on changing your spouse's story and their beliefs about you. Okay. So here's our big discovery. 98% of the time, in fact, I'm going to say at this point, we know it's 100% of the time when we're working with people and even in our own marriages, we realize that our spouse, they've built up a belief about us, right? That's justifying their reasons in going. And this can sound like a lot of different things. You know, whatever the example is for you, think about what your spouse is saying. What's the reason? What's the story? What's the justification? Their, you know, maybe even their excuse that is justifying them leaving. You know, it could sound like this. My spouse, they just won't change. They just won't change. I've been asking them for years to do this, to be more, you know, emotional with me or more physical or sexual with me, and they just won't meet my needs. They just won't do it. And so I can't be happy here if I don't get my needs met, right? Or I see that they're changing, but the change is only temporary. If I come back to them, then they're just going to go back to their old ways and I'm going to be hurt again. So the change isn't really change. It's more of like a manipulation to try to get me back, right? And so then we go to like, you know, all the different ones. I can't trust them, you know, all of these different challenges that we have. I'm in love with you, but I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I need to quote unquote find myself, which is an interesting one. We talked about that, I think, in a couple podcasts ago. Or maybe we're better as friends. We can co-parent the kids. I can't be happy here. I don't get what I want. So on and so on. And so whatever that story is for you that your spouse is saying, this is what they've built up. And sometimes they've built it up over, you know, weeks. Sometimes it's months. And sometimes it's years that they've built up this story about us. And so what we must do in order to achieve full reconciliation is to remove those beliefs or they won't come back. If making changes was enough, like positive changes was enough, then they would come back and they would see that, right? So imagine like you're on a first date, very first date, and your date keeps going on and on like, I am so trustworthy. You should absolutely trust me. I have never told a lie in my life and I will never hurt you. I will take good care of you, right? I'm completely trustworthy. I'm also a really great listener. I'm understanding. I'm really patient. I'm great with kids. I'm present at home, right? And then go on like, I'm so handsome. I'm so beautiful. I'm so smart. I'm so understanding. What will you think on that first date? You'll think BS, like this person is trying way, way, way too hard. And so in that kind of situation, we need to apply that to when our marriage is struggling, because if we're just trying to like show a bunch of, you know, like just with our words, show them that we've changed and coming at them in this kind of energy, then they're not going to believe it either. Right. So can you kind of understand where that comes from? So our method, we show you and we show them that you've changed without you even saying it. Okay. And it is our simple four-step process that we've talked about throughout this entire podcast. We call it the PATH method. And if you're unfamiliar with the PATH method, then make sure you go back and listen to some of our other podcasts and some of our YouTube videos where we have masterclasses and stuff, recordings of that. But basically, the PATH method is an acronym, right? Starts with P for perception, A for adjustment, T for tell a new story, and H for hold out hope. Now, here is where things get a little bit interesting. So in the first step, before we do anything else, we have determined that we need to do a deep root assessment. That is really the first step in helping, you know, reconnect with our spouse and to save our marriage without getting our heart hurt. So the first step is a root assessment, okay? And this is a scientifical. That's so funny. Like I said, I talk to toddlers most of the day. So we scientifically assess your marriage to determine what the root issues and perceptions are behind their story. So the surface level thing is all of those examples I gave, right? I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I'm in love with someone else. I can't be happy here. The change is only temporary. We're better as friends. All of those things are the surface level reasons, right? And so we need to get deeper and uncover what those root issues are and perceptions that have led to this story. And here's where it gets interesting, okay? Most of us, we can guess or kind of know what one or two of them might be. For instance, if our spouse says, I can't trust you, and we know that we had an affair, well, that's pretty obvious, right? We had an affair 2 years ago, and they're like, I just can't trust you. Once trust is broken, it can never be restored, right? And so we can understand, well, that was probably one or two of the reasons why they had this belief about me. But there's always one or two more root issues that we are completely unaware of. And unless you unearth all four, there's usually three to five, but we'll just say four, you know, unless you unearth all of them, you won't likely get your spouse back. Okay. And so that is where we go in with you and we scientifically assess your marriage to help you uncover each and every one of those. My husband likes to say the saying, you know, like it's like an onion with layers, like Shrek, an ogre has layers. He calls me Smo, so he says Smo has layers, but it's true. Each of us have different layers. And when you get to the heart of what the real issue is, that is when you make the real change. For me and my marriage, I've shared this very openly many, many times, but just again, because this has been completely transformative for me, was that I didn't feel good enough and I didn't feel worthy of love. And I felt like if I wasn't good enough, then Ben was going to leave me. And so until we got to that level, and until I worked on my internal belief at that level, the symptoms kept showing up again and again and again and again, like a cancer. I went through breast cancer. Interesting, right? And so it wasn't until I fully healed that limiting belief and that fear and that pain that it was going to keep coming up, right? Our stories are like a defense mechanism. We've created them usually innocently from childhood and or sometimes, you know, in the relationship itself to protect us from something. They're a defense mechanism. They help keep us safe from pain. And it's really hard for people to let go of their stories, right? If my story is, I am afraid people are going to leave me because I'm not good enough, then that is a protection for me because then I don't fully invest in the marriage. And then it protects me from when it actually happens, right? If I believe it's going to happen, then I have this as like a shield that I'm expecting it to happen. So it's not going to hurt as bad when it does happen. Does that make sense? I hope that you can understand where that might be in yourself and also in your spouse. Okay. And so we will go to the grave to defend our stories because we believe they're going to keep us safe from something. There's also another reason. Sometimes it helps us feel less guilty and it helps lessen the shame and the guilt that we feel for our own actions. And so that's also a level of pain that we don't want to feel. And so it's easier to say it's them, it's because they did this, and this is the story. And so it's easier to use that so that I don't feel so guilty. Interesting enough, like I love you, but I'm not in love with you. I need to find myself. I just need to work on myself. We're better as friends. Those are all kind of the easy letdowns, usually because your spouse is a really compassionate person, more often than not, or they have a really, really compassionate kind of spirit, you know, personality. And so they're trying to soften the blow on you because they know it hurts a lot and they're trying to make it hurt less because they don't want to be seen as a really bad person, or they just genuinely don't really want to hurt you, but they know that they still are. And so that's an interesting kind of justification that comes up. So bottom line is, guys, we've got to uncover what those deeper root issues are. And we can't see them all for ourselves because, like I said, sometimes we're so in the muck and the mud of our own lives and our own situation and the challenges that we're facing that it's really hard for us to see the situation clearly. And that's why having, you know, a coach on your side, someone that can go in with you and uncover exactly what those are. You guys, Mark is so skilled. I am in awe of him. You know, he's incredible. And he is so like just gentle and understanding, but he really digs in and finds what they are in you and in your spouse so that you can both fully heal. And so that is the first step, is to uncover exactly what the issues, what their perceptions are, so that we know what needs to be changed. I don't know if you can relate to this, guys, but when my marriage was struggling, I was like, I have no idea what to do. I am so overwhelmed. I'm in so much fear. I'm in so much pain. I just have no clue where to even start, right? And I went, you know, to books, I went to podcasts, I went to YouTube, I tried to do all these like do-it-yourself kind of things, and it just didn't work. And so here, contrast that with after, you know, years of doing this and now, you know, working with Mark, coming together to create this and seeing how many lives it's truly transformed. Now you know what needs to be changed. You're not just guessing at it. And so then when you know what needs to be changed, then you can move into the next step, which is to open communication. I talk so much about communication in marriage, right? Because let's face it, when our marriage is struggling, communication is like the first thing to go out the door, right? And so we've got to be able to open up communication, because if we can't talk with each other, right, you can't change their story. So that's the first step after we do the root assessment, right? The next step, I should say, is to get that communication open. It's a big problem that we have to solve first. Agreed? Here's the truth though. As we open up communication at first, you know, you might be all on the spectrum. Let's just outline this real quick. You might be from complete stonewalling, but at least if you have some communication at all, even if it's very tense or even if it's very cold or closed off, but you are communicating, then that's a sign right there that you can save your marriage, right? Or maybe it's just very volatile and every communication is just very angry and hostile, and there's a lot of blame and there's a lot of bad names being called or whatever. And so it's just very volatile and difficult and not effective, right? Or there's just complete miscommunication, misunderstanding. You guys are not on the same page. You do not understand where the other person's coming from. And it's very frustrating. All the way to, you maybe have like occasional fights. The same principles apply, or occasional disagreements or misunderstandings, right? So here's the truth though. If you're in this situation on the lower end of the spectrum and you're getting communication open, especially if there's been a lot of stonewalling or shut down about talking about the relationship or just shut down in general, as you open up this communication, and even if you're transitioning from negative, volatile communication to effective communication at first, here's the truth, guys, it's going to be ugly. It's going to be ugly communication. It's not going to be the fun kind, okay? And that is where you need to have the perspective, right? That you're planting the seeds and eventually they will harvest into what you want. But this is one of the tough challenges you got to get through, right? The goal actually isn't positive communication right now. It's just to get communication open. But let's be honest here. Like, this phase, it stinks. It's hurtful. It's often volatile, right? And you're coming full face with their negative beliefs about you and about the marriage. It's kind of like your spouse has to like emotionally vomit all over you and their story just comes raging out with all of its defensiveness, right? And sometimes aggression, or sometimes just really coldness or bitterness. And so what we need to do when we're in this stage is just take a deep breath, because if they are now finally opening up about some of these things, it actually means you've achieved a huge, huge milestone. And so how do we do that? This is one of the most common questions we ever get, is how do you actually open up that communication? And so let's go through that. Here is what we call our push versus pull. And if you've been with us for a while, then you know this. But it's really crucial that you understand the common mistakes people make during this phase, right? And how this is where most marriages do not succeed, right? This is where they continue to fall into further separation and divorce. So there's a couple things that we need to be aware of, that most people make these mistakes. In fact, I can raise my hand and say I've made these mistakes, if not all of them, right? And so here's what we must stop doing first. These are the mistakes. We must stop demanding that they work on the marriage. We must stop demanding that they work on the marriage. Now we're going into the push side, right? We're pushing them to work on the marriage. And it can sound like this. You made a vow. You covenanted with me. You promised, right? We made our marriage vows and you need to stand by your vows, right? Or our religion disagrees with divorce, or we need to stay together for the kids. You need to work on this with me, right? And I'm going to be honest here, like, that is true. They did make those covenants. They did make those vows. You should probably work on it for your kids, right? All these different things. But what happens when we demand a spouse to work on the marriage at this situation, right? In this situation, is that if they're already checked out, if they're already wanting to leave, it's only going to push them further away. No one likes to be told what to do. No one likes to feel pressured to do something that they don't want to do, that doesn't feel safe to them, that they have all these reasons why they don't want to do that, that they think they would be happier with someone else or on their own or whatever the situation might be, right? And so we have to stop demanding that they work on the marriage. And I know this can be a really big aha moment to people when they hear this, because this comes out of that instinct of fear and desperation when our spouse is leaving, right? We also have to stop manipulating, pleading, and acting out of that desperation. Again, it's instinctual. When we feel like we're going to lose someone or something, that puts us into a state of fear. It actually activates what's called the limbic system in your brain. And this system literally shuts off the reasoning part of our mind and puts us into that fight, flight, or freeze response. And so you might be in the fight place, right? Where you're manipulating, like, I'm going to take the kids if you do this to me, or I'm going to ruin you financially, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that, right? I'm going to ruin your reputation, trying to manipulate them out of anger to try to get them back. Does it work? No, It never works. Pleading, I please come back to me. Please don't do this. Please, 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 please. And we come at our spouse with all of this tension and all of this fear. And what does our spouse want to do? When someone comes at us with a lot of tension, they're really tense, they're really fearful, they're coming at us with just a lot of like, please don't do this, please do this, right? Desperation. What instinctively do we want to do if someone comes at us with that? We want to back away, right? We want to protect ourselves. We want to create some space so that we don't feel in danger of their fear and whatever crazy thing we perceive that they might do, right? And so we also might freeze. Like sometimes we get into that fight, flight, or freeze response. And the freeze might look like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just not going to do anything, right? Or flee. Like I'm just going to create space myself. I'm going to run out of here. I'm going to get out of here myself. But then internally, we really want to work on the marriage. And so any of these are not going to be how we effectively get our spouse back and how we effectively open up communication. Right? And so what we must do at this stage is make a shift and learn how to process through those instincts of fear and desperation and anger and bitterness and pain so that then we can act from a really calm, centered place. That's a hard thing to do. I'm not gonna lie, right? But it is the most important thing that we can learn to do. And guys, it is a skill. Because I, like I said, I can raise my hand and say, I've made every single one of these mistakes. And I learned how to feel the fear and process through it, to feel the insecurities, to feel the limiting beliefs, to feel the anger, to feel all the emotions without suppressing them and allow them to pass so that then I could act as the highest, best version of myself. Not a perfect version of myself, but act from who I really feel like I want to be and have inner strength and calm. So what happens when you do that process that we teach you is that you go from the limbic system, which is the fear animalistic state, to the reasoning part of your brain. And you are able to calm down your emotions, right? And get to who you really are. And again, having that destination of mind of where you really want to go. And so then you can act in a place that is like those tiny course corrections, getting you on track to the destination that you want. And so it's a beautiful shift when we learn how to shift out of fear and getting to a calm, centered place. So that's pushing. We know we don't want to push our spouse. If we push them to work on the marriage, if we come at them with desperation, anger, fear, bitterness, and all of our pain, it's only going to push them further away. It's okay to feel all those things, but we must learn how to process through them so that then we can effectively be safe for our spouse. And here we get to the pull side of the method, okay? So push versus pull, here's what we need to do instead. First, we're going to take the pressure off. Take the pressure off. Off of them, off of you, off of the marriage, off of the entire situation. Because when we have so much pressure on our spouse, they're going to feel that instinctively. They're going to want to get further away. We're going to feel it. It's not a pleasant feeling, right? It's not a happy feeling. And the pressure on the relationship to make it work. I have a six-year-old now. Yep. I have eight kids. So sometimes I have to remember how old they all are. She's six now, and she just loves animals. And we were over at our friend's house the other day. They had just had some kittens, and she was holding a kitten, and she was like squeezing it almost like so tightly because she just loved that little kitten so much. And the kitten was like starting to really freak out. And I had to show her, Naomi, like, you got to let it go, be calm with it, be safe for it, and it will come to you, and it will want to be with you. And the same thing applies here. Sometimes we hold on so tightly to the things that we want that we literally squeeze the life out of them. I was doing a masterclass and someone said, you know, like loving them to death. Like it's like we bring all of this tension and desire in an unhealthy way that it just squeezes the life out of the relationship. And so we need to learn how to take the pressure off. And when we take the pressure off, then the things that we want have room and have space to come to us. We don't have to force it anymore. We become a safe place, not only within ourselves, which is where it needs to start, but within the marriage with our spouse. Okay? And as they feel like, oh wow, they took the pressure off, I feel that things are different. Like, this is weird. It kind of pattern interrupts some things, and it gets them to start to open up communication and open up to you. Second, after we take the pressure off, then we need to start increasing our understanding towards our spouse, increasing understanding. And we do this in a way, again, without any agenda. We're not like doing this like, I'm doing this because I want my marriage to work. Like, it's a different state. It really is. And when you can reach this level inside yourself where you're like, I'm going to be okay no matter what happens, and we're going to be okay no matter what happens, that internal state will start to change everything for you. All of your interactions, it will start to not only make you feel better, right? Because that feels better to be calm and centered and open to receiving the things that you want, but your spouse will sense it as well, and they will be drawn to you. And so as you start to increase understanding, then you gain their perspective. P, right? Path, method, perspective. Where they're coming from, what are the underlying issues in the marriage, and how to get them to open up. And as you do that, like, I just want to understand you because I care about you, and I want to become a better version of myself. I want to work on some of these things I haven't done well, in the past. And I just really want to understand you. I care about you. I know this has probably been really challenging for you. Is that something you can help me with? I just want to understand you. So can you feel the difference? Can you see what kind of a difference that would have in your marriage if you're like that with your spouse, right? And we start doing what actually works, and we have calm confidence while we do it. So I hope that that just gave you a big aha moment, because I know for many, many people, this is kind of a wake-up call, right? A little bit of a light bulb moment. And if you just had a light bulb moment, then recognize that and hold fast to that, that shift that just happened in you, that new awareness that what I've been doing up until this point really hasn't been working. And now I can see what I need to do. How do I do it? Well, that's what we teach you. And so let's say, you know, even if you're doing these really positive things to fight for your marriage, like, we'll often see this, right? I'm, again, making all those positive changes. I'm going to bring my wife flowers. I'm going to text her every day. I'm going to write out how much I love her. I'm going to declare it to the world, right? And I'm going to do her favorite things. I'm going to rub her back when she gets home. I'm going to take care of the kids. I'm going to cook all the dinners. I'm going to clean up everything. I'll do all the laundry. I'll do all these things, right? But you're still doing it with the intention of trying to get her back. She's going to feel it, and you're going to feel it, and it's not going to be very effective. And so that's how we really open up communication, is shifting that internal story and finding out what actually works. Because buying her flowers, all of those things might be the exact wrong things to do, and they could actually be pushing her further away. So many times, I know I did this too. I thought I was doing the right things. I thought I was doing what all the gurus said and all the books said, and it turned out it only pushed him further away because he wasn't ready to receive those, and I wasn't in the right state to actually do them with just understanding and taking the pressure off. Okay. So now as we do this, we open up communication. Just remember, it's usually the ugly kind. It's usually the ugly kind, and it's not very fun to go through, but it's just a phase. It's part of the healing. Sometimes we have to let the wound eat, you know, ooze and bleed, and it's gross. It's not fun, but things do get better as we get to the next stage, which is ceasefire. And so I'm not going to go into that next stage yet. I'm going to wait till our next podcast, because we're almost here on time, and I want to make sure that I give it the full amount of time without having to rush through it. But ceasefire, just as a little teaser, we're going to shift that really negative, ugly, hard, awful communication into neutral communication. And here's where we start to build up the connection again and start to feel like friends. But we're not done yet. There's still another step after that to help them fully let their story go. So I will share all about that in the next podcast with you guys. But I hope that you had an aha moment, even in these first two steps, of understanding the root assessment, that we need to scientifically assess what the deeper issues are behind their story so that we can make that level of change. And when we make that level of change, you're not just guessing, like, I know one or two of the reasons, but we help you uncover up the, you know, uncover up. That's not how we say it. We help you uncover, you know, the two or three that you're completely unaware of, so that then as you heal all of those stories, then it's like cutting down the legs off a table, right? Every single leg gets, you know, cut off, and now their story can't stand. And that sounds a little bit aggressive. We do it, you know, in a loving, understanding, patient way, but it really just kind of obliterates their story, so that now they see that they can be happy with you again, that they want to be with you, that you are this person. And as you do it, not just by working on yourself, but you do it truly by becoming that person and showing them that you are safe for them. You are a secure place for them. You are loving and connected with them. You are trustworthy, and that is the truth, not just words, right? And so that is what the process is all about. So again, next time I'll go into the next two phases of this method and dig a little bit deeper into it. But I really want you to think about what stood out for you and what aha moment you had and what change you could make right now, even if it's just a small one, of taking some of the pressure off, of learning how to process through your emotions, of reaching out and getting help to get a scientific assessment. We are currently booked as of the recording of this podcast. We actually don't have any spots open right now, but we do offer complimentary consultations, and you can get those over at highthrivecoaching.com/apply. But like I said, as of today, when I'm recording this here in June 2020, our calendar is actually currently completely full. And so I'm sorry, we are, you know, we're a very small, intimate team, and we're growing, but we don't have any spots open as of right now. So you can check back in a couple days, because new spots are opening up all the time. So with that being said, whenever you might be listening to this, might be different. And I hope it is, because we love what we do, and we love serving you guys. We love being able to help heal marriages, because we believe marriage is sacred. All right, now I did something a little bit different for the Marriage Mythbuster. I posted live, not live, I posted in the group what you guys are wanting to have for a Marriage Mythbuster. I got one about forgiveness, specifically bust that the other person has to actually ask for forgiveness to be forgiven. Ooh, okay. Victoria sent that one, and Lucy as well kind of collaborated on that. And Carrie, I love yours. This, exactly. We've talked about that one a lot. The myth that it takes two to save a marriage. It doesn't. Yeah. Cool. All right. Oh, a lot of people like that one. Cool. All right. Well, maybe I can do, oh, there's a lot coming in. Cool. Well, I'll save some of these for other future podcasts. Thank you guys for your comments there here in the Thriving Marriage. Well, let's do the forgiveness, that the other person has to actually ask for forgiveness to be forgiven. Because this one really resonates with me. I've shared before that for years, I carried a really deep wound from someone close to me in my family that basically lived a double life. And my whole life, I thought they were one way, and learned from them and adored them, and found out that they were actually doing some things completely contrary to what they were teaching me, which shook my world at the age of 19. As I was a young adult, learning about myself and who I wanted to be, and the life I wanted to have, the marriage I wanted to have, as I was, you know, dating and all those things. And this happened, and it just shook those foundations within me, and was really, really painful for me and for my family to go through. I'm not going to go into the details, because it's a private family thing, and I don't have permission to share, and that's fine. But needless to say, this person never directly asked me for forgiveness, even though I was part of this whole uncovering, and I was deeply, deeply hurt. And I carried a pain, what I felt in my heart, in my chest, for years, from the time I was 19 to the time I was 29, diagnosed with cancer. And interestingly enough, the cancer was right here above my heart. So, little interesting note there about the energy that our body has and how we carry negative energy in our body and how our body responds. That's a different topic, but we do carry that, and it does have an effect on all different levels of our mental, emotional, physical health. And it took being diagnosed with cancer and realizing that I had all this bitterness inside me for all these years, a decade of it, right? And unable to let it go. And again, no forgiveness, like no asking for forgiveness, but realizing that if I don't learn how to let this go, if I don't heal this, it could kill me. Literally, like it could have killed me. And that was a huge wake up call to me. And it wasn't something I even consciously thought about a lot. That's like what we do with a lot of our pain, right? We bury it so deep that we don't even think about it sometimes, especially if it's that long, that it's just kind of going on in the background, but we're filtering everything that we do and see and feel and how we act through that lens, because our body is still feeling it. Like our neural net, our neural system, sorry, our nervous system, everything is completely connected. And there's an interesting thing about our subconscious. It thinks it's happening now if we haven't fully closed that loop. There's a loop in our mind, like those neural pathways and everything. And so until we take it from an open state of it's happening, like it's still happening, to it happened, and we close that loop, it's going to continue to show up for us again and again and again and again, because it has to. That's how the system works. It's there to protect us from that thing happening again and to keep us on the radar for that, right? And so that's more of like a scientific like overview of it, but there's that deeper, maybe more, you could even call it spiritual or emotional, of forgiveness isn't for them. It's not about them. And that the lack of forgiveness, holding on to a grudge, it's been said, the saying goes, right, is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's really something that harms us. And sometimes we think that we're getting back at them, or we think that we're keeping ourselves safe if we don't let it go, that we're protecting ourselves. And so we continue to believe that and to not fully heal it. But the only damage it's doing is not to them, and it's not keeping us safe. It's only keeping us more in pain than if we had chosen to truly forgive. And so the whole notion that I need to have them ask for forgiveness is a myth. They don't have to ask us for forgiveness. Forgiveness is something that we decide because we want to heal. We want to move forward, and we don't want to have to live with this pain and this bitterness anymore. And for me, it was very clear. If I didn't do it, I was either going to, you know, I was going to die. And I didn't want to die like that. I regretted all those years that I had lived with that inside me. And I could see now in a new perspective that I think only like a near death kind of experience does, or like an understanding that I may die within a year, does, is you have that perspective on, oh my goodness, this has been this weight for me in my life all these years. And I could see all the instances where it reared its ugly head and made me not, it made me like I acted from that place and not from who I really wanted to be. And I realized that it wasn't about them asking me forgiveness. I just needed to make that decision. And when you make that decision, I forgive, there's a process and a healing that you have to go through, but it starts with making that decision. And when you make that decision, you feel that healing come in and you feel that bitterness and that pain leave. I believe we're all deserving of forgiveness, even some of the worst, most awful things. Because if I've made mistakes and I can't be forgiven, you know, then what's the point, right? What's the point? We've all made mistakes and we all deserve that forgiveness. And I know a lot of religion and spirituality goes into that, and that healing power that comes from giving it up to a higher power. For me, that's what it looked like as well, was surrendering it to a higher power, saying, I can't fix this myself, but I know you can, and allowing that to come in and heal me. So whatever that looks like for you and whatever resonates most for you, I encourage you to take those steps. All right. And then Carrie's real quick. The biggest myth I keep hearing is it takes two to save a marriage. It doesn't. That's awesome. And then Joanne says, please elaborate. Your statement appears extremely logical. That's awesome. And then Carrie goes on, shares a little bit about her experience, which I won't share here. But it's really true that this whole idea that if you don't have both people working on the marriage, that it can't be saved. It takes two to tango, right? And what happens if you have that mentality and your spouse is already out the door is that it's only going to push them further away if you're trying to make them work on the marriage, right? That's what we talked about here this whole time. And so making sure that we do our part, and we have proven over and over and over again that when one person steps forward and works on the marriage first, they have an incredible influence in the marriage. You do. You have more influence than you realize. Your spouse might seem like they have all the control right now because they're probably calling all the shots. And again, that puts us into that animalistic, fearful state. And so we react out of fear. But the bottom line is that you have an incredible influence there. And what we teach you to do is through this PATH method, understand where their reasons are, what those root reasons are, why they're wanting to leave, and then open up that communication, open up that understanding. And then we go through the next two steps that I'll share with you next time. And that is how you do it. And you must be willing to go first, because anything else, as we say, is marriage suicide. You cannot wait for them to get on board, because at this point, they're most likely not going to. And just understanding that can give you an immense amount of strength and courage. And I know it's hard and it's scary, but when you hold fast to that destination that you want to get to, it's just going to be one of those other storms that you get through. And it leads you on that journey to where you really, really want to be. All right, Ellen asks, when will the next part be live? We do this every Tuesday morning here in the Thriving Marriage. We record a podcast every week. However, the week of July 4th, we're not going to be recording because I will be up in the mountains at 9,000 feet with no cell service. It's going to be awesome. Going camping with our baby. Ugh, I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah, we're going camping with a 5-month-old and a 2-year-old and the rest of our kids. But I need to give those kids that experience. So next week, we will not be recording a podcast, but it will be the week after that. And we always have our podcast replays available on iTunes, on Spotify, on our thrivingmarriagepodcast.com website. And so you can check us out there. So thank you all for joining me very much. Take action on one thing today. Test it out for yourself. See if it doesn't produce some good fruit in time. But give those seeds some time to germinate, and you will have the destination that you really want to go to. Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to The Thriving Marriage, your A to Z blueprint for not just surviving marriage, but thriving. Until next time, my friends, thrive on.